This is The Hollywood Outsider, a weekly movie and TV podcast with a new episode every Thursday, always available at thehollywoodoutsider.com on iTunes or Stitcher Radio, as well as TuneIn Radio. I'll be your host, Aaron Peterson, and this is a special edition of our show. Today, we are going to interview Rupert Evans. Now, the name might sound familiar to some of you. He's been in a lot of TV, a lot of British work, as well as he was in Hellboy as Agent John Myers. But today, he's here to talk about his new movie, The Canal. Now, The Canal is a horror movie, and it's kind of an old-fashioned horror movie. And when I say old-fashioned, I don't mean that to be a turnoff or anything, because I know some people like the whiz-bang effects of today. But it really goes back to kind of The Shining and films like that, where you are not sure as an audience member, is this truly a horrific act, or is it a psychological breakdown of one's mind? And that's what this film is about. Now, Rupert plays the character David. He's a film archivist. He's basically found out his wife is having an affair. That can cause a little mental break in a lot of guys. And at the same time, he is processing very old footage that is taken of the same building that he lives in. Now, that building had a vicious, horrible murder occur in 1902. These events propel the story forward as his wife goes missing, and there is definitely some concern as to what really happened to his wife. David tries to find out exactly what's going on with his son Billy in tow, as well as their babysitter, Sophie, who's played by Kelly Byrne, and the movie spirals from there. It's really a good old-fashioned horror movie. There's a lot of things in here that are freaky or creepy or unsettling, but it's not cats jumping out of closets. It's not the door slams and the noise just scares you out of your mind. It's really a little bit more involved in that. And it was a nice, fresh surprise, especially, you know, in the month of All Hallows Eve. It's something that I hope you guys will definitely check out. The movie itself will be available on video on demand at iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, Vudu, all those other places on October 10th, as well as select theaters. So check it out as soon as it hits. It's definitely worth the look. Now, Rupert is going to talk to us about the movie itself, no spoilers, I promise. Filmmaking, critics, even glosses over Hellboy a little bit. He's a very interesting guy, very articulate, and it's a very insightful interview into an actor we've seen the works of for many, many years. So without further ado, I know you're sick of hearing my voice. I do want to remind you, it's a phone interview like I always do whenever there's a phone interview. Quality can vary. I think it's a very well-done interview. It's a very interesting interview with an interesting guy. Here's Rupert Evans. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you. Yeah, I'm good. I'm looking at a sort of a foggy Seattle morning, but apart from that, all is well.
A foggy Seattle morning. That's pretty much every morning in Seattle, I think.
Actually, the weather's been not too bad since I've been here, but so I hear. That's what most sort of say.
Are you filming up there? Or?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Well, before we talk about The Canal, I wanna talk about you a little bit. What gave you the realization that you wanted to? This is what you wanted to do. You wanted to be an actor.
God, I don't know. I can't speak for everyone, but I suppose I didn't think I was any good at anything else. I think at the beginning I was a bit of a show off, and you know, as a kid, I think I got a response from it, and I just enjoyed. I don't know. Yeah, I think it's kind of a multitude of those things, really. I enjoyed being on stage, you know. And as a very young kid at school, we did plays, and I think I was very, very comfortable.
You speak of the stage. You actually, I mean, people might know you from Hellboy. They know you from various TV work, and you're also an accomplished stage actor. So since you bring that up, is that the preference? Is that what you prefer to do?
Yeah, I don't prefer it. But I absolutely love the stage, and I try and do a play, you know, once every sort of year at least. It hasn't worked out like that recently. But do you know what? They're just different. I often find when I'm doing a play, I'm dying to do a film. When I'm doing a film, I'm dying to do a play. I'm sort of never, you know, one's always sort of the other one always appeals when you're doing, you know, the other. So it just varies really.
Do you get recognized differently in different areas? Like, do you get recognized more from Hellboy one area and more from your television work and others?
Do you know what? If I'm really honest, I don't get recognized that often.
That's a surprise.
Invariably, one, you know, you get recognized when, if there's a show on TV, then, you know, that happens sort of more often. But then when the show finishes and you're sort of, you know. But I get recognized if I do. Like in Seattle, I've been recognized a bit. I don't know why. It just depends on the person. You know, a lot of Americans are really into sort of, you know, English period dramas,
mm-hmm.
and I've done a lot of those. As in Macy's, and this girl came up to me and sort of, you know, reeled off a kind of random list of weird period dramas that I seem to have done, and British sort of dramas. You know, so it just varies. It just varies on the person.
And normally I would skip over this, but you've actually done enough of it that I think it bears bringing up. You've done a lot of video game voice work in like Haze, Demon Souls, and others. Is that where the work takes you, or are you a big gamer?
Do you know what? I am not a big gamer at all. it's bizarre. However, I really enjoy doing games, and I think... So in the last 10 years, really, I think the importance of games for us actors has steadily grown.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reason for that is that they have become more and more interested in narrative and storytelling as a form of media. And I suppose, as an actor, that's kind of what we do. So I've got more and more involved with them simply because of the narratives and the characters. I haven't done a huge amount, but I have a number of friends who sort of are, and they... they get me, you know, involved because of that, the narrative based.
Well, you have that strong accent, and I think that establishes immediately of your character, and I think your voice helps quite a bit, actually.
I don't know.
Oh, it's definitely the voice. I'm telling you, you've got a very noticeable accent. The Canal's kind of an old-fashioned ghost story. It took me a little bit by surprise. It has a psychological twist, which we're not going to spoil or anything, but what about your role as David attracted you to this particular movie?
Well, I'll tell you what it was. I know, actually, because I remember reading it the first time. It's really simple. I think it's quite simple, really. It's just that I think whenever I read a script, I like to see if there's an absolute change in the character from beginning to end. You know, and there's an arc, and if there's if the character has quite a formidable journey and he changes from beginning to end, that interests me, and it always does and always has done. And I think with David particularly, he changes, and it surprised me.
He changes a lot.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
When you guys are making, I mean, you're making essentially a horror movie. You know, in this day and age, I think a lot of people make the mistake of going just for gore or just for boo scares, where you and director Ivan Kavanaugh, it didn't seem to go that. It seemed like you were intentionally avoiding that. Is that correct?
You know what? You're absolutely right. I mean, I think there are certain moments where he, you know, he wanted to heighten the experience for the audience. But when I spoke to Ivan for the first time, he said, these people have to be real and we have to believe them, and it has to be naturalistic and it has to be completely believable. And so suddenly I realized that this film wasn't just a sort of horror film, and it, you know, and the style in which he was going for wasn't sort of like a kind of Halloween teen movie. Not that there's anything wrong with a Halloween teen movie. You know, I just didn't know. It's very difficult as an actor because you read a script and, you know, you just don't know, because it's such a director's medium, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the director, he's in control, really, of the whole look, style, pay, you know, everything. That it's quite difficult sometimes to know which way it's going to go. And when he said that, I knew then instantly that I was dying to do it. So that's kind of how it happened, really.
We don't want to give anything away, but as the movie continues, David's mental state kind of, it really takes a pounding. Yet he desperately tries throughout the movie to remain a father. Was that exhausting for you as an actor to play? I mean, because it looked really, really exhausting.
You know what? I'll be honest with you. I was absolutely dead by the end. Yeah. I mean, you know, what's fantastic about doing these kind of films are, you know, you collaborate with the director. You know, everyone's in it, in the trenches. It was a very intense kind of 5 weeks. And we were together for a long, long period every day. But I had a great time. But I was tired after it. I won't lie. Yeah.
Oh, you look like you just went through heck. You know.
Yeah. I sort of slept for about 2 weeks. I seem to remember.
The little boy who plays Billy, is it Calum Heath? Is that his name? Just
Yeah, Callum, yeah.
a sweet, sweet kid.
Wasn't he amazing? He's only five. Can you imagine? And he didn't even know he was in a horror movie. I mean, for God's sake, it's crazy.
Was he as cute in person, or was he one of those kids where he's just a little devil on the set, but he's fine in the movie?
No, I mean, he relaxed, but he was amazing. He turned up, he always knew his lines, and his mum was amazing in sort of making sure that he was prepped. But it was difficult because, A, I wanted us to have a kind of, a relationship whereby we were sort of best friends and he could absolutely trust me. But B, he couldn't do many hours a day. As you know, kids can't kind of work that many hours. That was very restricting. And C, he wasn't allowed to kind of know what the story was about, really, and it was kind of hard because it wasn't for him to know what it was, a horror movie and, blood and all the rest of it. It was kind of tricky at times. But he got really into it. I remember him saying once, sort of towards the end of the day, aged five, sort of being in bed, and he was sort of, he sort of, he exhaled and said, "Oh, it's really hard work being an actor. I'm tired." I mean, he made us all laugh, but he was extraordinary. He was an amazing kid, amazing kid. If Ivan said, "Can you just do it like this?" He went, "Yeah," and then we just sort of do it. It was just incredible.
Oh, the entire time I'm watching it, all I kept thinking was, I really wish my kids were this well behaved.
Well, yeah, I know, buddy, I know. I know, that's what you mean.
You know who else I liked was Kelly Byrne. She, Sophie the babysitter, I assumed that was going to be one of those.
Kelly was amazing, yeah.
Yeah,
Kelly was amazing.
she really rose the bar in terms of those characters in horror films generally are the most bland, and she really made it someone I could relate to.
What I thought was amazing about her performance is that I really believed that she was scared, and she was nervous, and this was weird, and she didn't know what the hell was going on, and I really believed that.
Well, you were being pretty effective at scaring the crap out of her, so
Wow, thanks. But yeah, but she was amazing.
she did a great job. There's a lot going on here, and it's really hard to talk about without throwing plot points out, and I don't want to do that. It feels different from your typical ghost story. It has a lot of almost Shining elements, I would say, where we, the audience, are kind of we're not really certain if this is the work of a spirit or is it David's breakdown from his wife's infidelity. What Was that how the script was, or is that just how the director decided to go for the tone?
No, it was pretty much how the script was, and I think what I'm always very wary of sort of, speaking on behalf of directors, but I think, having spoken to Ivan a lot, and obviously, we've been, done quite a few of these and heard him talk at screeners and stuff. I think the ambiguity of it was something that he really was striving for. I think he's tried to make something in the limited time and budget that he had that was, it doesn't spoon feed the audience, and the audience is left not necessarily with all the answers, always like, ducks in a row, not all sort of perfectly answered, and it is ambiguous, and it is up to the audience to make up their theory. And I think lots of people have different theories, and that's interesting.
Yeah, I'm still debating a couple of them, honestly. So
Well, yeah, I mean, it provokes, different ideas, and I think that's amazing. That's great.
yeah, and I think the one thing I like most about the movie is it held that up throughout the film. I really wasn't sure which direction it was going to go because you walk into it, I guess, with the plot description and everything else. You have a basic idea. Oh, I'm going to get your typical Hollywood ghost story. And it's really not like that at all.
No, you're right. You're right.
Personally, how do you prepare for something like this? Is it just standard acting? This is something you go up, do your job, go home, or do you have to actually prepare?
Well, this one, I think with this kind of film and what the events that happened to the character, to David, he's sort of a bit of a kind of, everything kind of happens to him and he is reacting to that constantly. So that kind of stuff, there's a lot you can't do until, that moment happens when someone tells you information or something happens and you have to react in that moment. But what I did do and what we spent a lot of time sort of doing before we started, Ivan was very keen to do quite a lot of improvisation and sort of talking. We spent hours. He kind of interviewed us as characters before, as a couple, me and Hannah Holstrom, you know, mm-hmm. Both my wife and Billy. And we had to, and we went on sort of days out together just to kind of formulate a complete backstory and just to kind of become relaxed with each other and calm with each other. And so there was a sort of, you know, shorthand in terms of how we would interact and talk and move and get a backstory. So we spent a lot of time before doing, you know, a lot of kind of improvisation interviews, which I'd never done before, to this extent anyway. Because I arrived in Dublin, and then we sort of, you know, spent good length of time, you know, days and days kind of doing these kind of interviews, and then we would sort of go for a walk and talk about the past. And so just we were both the same page, and we, you know, really got an understanding of what we were trying, you know, who we were. And I think it paid off, because at the beginning of the movie, I hope people really believed them, and they believed sort of there was a couple and the loneliness of a couple and also the intimacies of a couple.
Wow, so you guys pretended to be a family before filming, basically.
Yeah. I mean, we went to the park, you know, with Billy, with Callum, and sort of, and we took pictures, and yeah, it was kind of, yeah, it was, so there was, you know, Ivan was very keen to do this, and I said, yeah, absolutely. You know, I was keen that it felt real, particularly at the beginning. I think, you know, if people believe the characters at the beginning, then they will hopefully believe the extreme circumstances which happen in a horror movie. But if you don't really believe them or sort of understand, you know, then I don't think people stick with it, you know.
So what's been the reaction to the movie from critics and audiences that you've shown it to?
Everyone's been very complimentary. I was in Tribeca with it. In New York, and everybody seemed very nice. I don't, as a rule, read reviews, really. Everybody has been very, very complimentary. I mean, as I said, I'm in Seattle right now, but I'm going to Los Angeles at the end of the week, and I think it's on in theaters there, so I might pop down at some point, go down and see it again, because I haven't seen it for ages. Yeah, but people have been, you know, surprised. You know, it's funny, because you do these things, and then you kind of move on. Do you know mm-hmm. what I mean? And it's funny coming back to it, because it seems that people have really kind of... People feel it's very individual and different, and they feel that, you know, a lot of time and sort of detail have been invested, and I think that's certainly true with Ivan and myself, and I'm glad people are kind of watching it, you know?
Absolutely. And you spoke to not wanting to read reviews. A lot of actors... Or some actors feel that way. Is there a particular reason? Is it just you don't want it to influence you going forward?
Just because it's done. There's nothing I can do, really. <You know? laughs> It's kind of a bit late. Yeah, it's a bit late. And also, there are always bits and moments, you know, that I'll watch the movie and, you know, wish that it was different. And if I had read a review, some of them are probably right, and that's okay. But... you know, the circumstances of how we film and, you know, are difficult sometimes, and mistakes are made, and, you know, beats are missed, and I think I'm as aware of those as any other critic. So, and having seen it, you know, three or four times, I know exactly what's missing and what's not, I suppose, and I was there. So I just haven't thought. I'm not a huge review reader, really. I'm not a huge guy who goes onto Google and types in and looks at what people think, because I feel like I'm well aware of the shortcomings and the changes and all the rest of it.
Does that carry over to other movies that you might want to see? You're like, I'm not going to read it because I know how critics are, that sort of thing.
Well, I just think, you know, everyone has an opinion, and I think that's cool. But I have an opinion too, and I don't read reviews before I go. Certainly before I go and see a movie or after, because I love movies. I go to the movies, you know, a lot. I went last night.
Anything good?
I went to see Gone Girl last night.
Oh, that was an interesting movie.
Yeah. It kept me guessing, actually. It was interesting. You know, I was surprised. So I love movies, and I think everybody gets different. The crazy thing about, I think, you know, movies and the theatre and TV is, it, for me, is depending on where I am in my life and what's going on in that moment and how I'm feeling that day, I find that my response to films is very, very different, and other people's response to films, the same film, is very, very different. You know, I think, you know, in a weird kind of way, my day informs my viewing in some kind of way, which makes sense. I have nothing against critics, but I think I just prefer to kind of watch.
That's exactly what I do as well.
Yeah.
There's something you want to see. I wouldn't read a review either.
Yeah.
So what's next for you? What do you got next on the? What should we be looking for you in the future?
Gosh. Well, I'm stuck here for a while, and the next is The Man in the High Castle. So that's kind of the next thing that's going to be on Amazon. So we're doing this Amazon pilot, and that's we'll see how it goes on Amazon Prime. I don't know. I think everyone's kind of, well, I am as well. You know, it's all very new, this world of, you know, Netflix and Amazon and streaming. So it's going to be really interesting for us actors to see how television. I think, you know, television is changing massively. So, but it's really interesting being a part of something at the beginning, which is, you know, seeing new content arriving and seeing how people are, accepting of it and seeing if people are interested. But what's interesting about it is, as well, is that if it's good, I think people will watch it. That people will seek it out. You know, I think we're all excited in Seattle about the possibilities of this new sort of. A new Amazon Prime. So yeah, that's kind of taking up a lot of my time right now.
And that's, you film it and then they put it on Amazon Prime, and then it's the audience response that determines if it goes to series, right?
Do you know what? I think so. I mean, I don't know what the details are of how they come to a decision and what they take into account, but it does seem like the audience and the number of hits it gets and all those are all considered in whether or not it gets picked up. So I don't know, you know. I think the pilots are free. So, you know, they've done, I don't know if you've seen Transparent.
Mm-hmm. I did, yeah.
It's worth seeing, I think. It's an interesting piece. So I think that's got picked up, and they've done Hand of God, I think, and I think that's been picked up. So with Ron Perlman. So it was great. I watched it actually last week, and it's nice to see him after Hellboy.
I said, what is that like for you? Do you guys ever catch up anymore?
You know what? It's very weird. Some jobs pass by, and that's okay. And some jobs, you know, it affected you, and you stay in touch. And, you know, Hellboy, for me, was one of those, you know. Yeah, I'm still very much in touch with Ron, and I see John Hurt, and yeah. So it kind of, you know, and Selma's about, and... she's been busy. I haven't seen her for a while, but we keep in touch on email. So, you know, it was one of those jobs where we became close. And Ron has always been sort of in my life to a lesser or greater extent. You know, and we're all working and all running around trying to kind of make a living. But you know, from time to time, we always connect. So yeah, he's certainly in my world. Still, and I have, you know, always watched his stuff and have done, and he's always been supportive and a great, he's an amazing man, amazing.
He seems like it. Hopefully if they make a Hellboy 3, if they ever get around to it, they'll find a way to bring your character back.
Yeah, his that, definitely, yeah. Definitely.
Well, I know that I got to let you go, and I just wanted to say thanks so much for stopping by. The canal was a real pleasant surprise, by the way. Very good job. Very impressed.
Well, you know, I don't know. We'll see. But thank you, because a lot of these indie movies, you know, they come and go, and it's you guys kind of getting the word out that, you know, make a few extra people go and see it. So thanks for kind of spreading the word.
Absolutely. Well, I will let you go, sir, and it was a pleasure talking to you.
Well, yeah, same with you, and until next time,
have a
good day. Take care.
Take care.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
And there's the interview. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Just a reminder that The Canal is available on video on demand on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, Vudu, etc. Anywhere else you can get video on demand starting October 10th. So most likely when you listen to this, it is available. Be sure to check it out. If you like those kinds of movies, especially like he described, where we're going more for atmosphere, psychological terror. Not so much just the cats and the closets and the jumping. None of that. It's really a more thought-provoking film, and it's got a heck of an ending. I can't even go into it, but I guarantee you when it ends, you'll go, oh, snap. Definitely check it out. It's worth a look. Thanks so much, you guys, for listening. Always appreciate it. Let me know what you thought of the interview. Feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. That's our email. It's feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. You can find plenty of other interviews there. We just interviewed the directors of Motivational Growth. That's another independent film, as well as Coherence. Also, Michael Jai White, who did Falcon Rising. You know, that was a very good interview as well. As well as all of our other shows, which we have every Thursday. There's a new one that's coming out right after this one and right before this one. So definitely check those episodes out. You know what we do. We talk about movies and TV every single week, and we try to put a little bit of humor to it. Thanks for listening. Once again, you can find The Hollywood Outsider at thehollywoodoutsider.com. We are available on iTunes. Please rate us there or review us there. And Stitcher. We are on your Stitcher mobile app. We are also on TuneIn Radio now. So if you happen to use TuneIn Radio, you can check us out there. Thanks as always, guys, for listening. And remember, the next time you go to a theater to see the canal, buy popcorn.